why is probably one of the most asked questions that is ever asked. Sometime a why question, especially if it comes from a little child, can drive us crazy, can't it? Why this, why that, why this, why that? But there are some why questions that are deep, and there are some why questions that are serious, aren't there? Take for instance, why is there evil in the world? Or this next one, why aren't people concerned for their souls? Or maybe this question, why does life have to be so uncertain? Sometimes when we ask these kind of questions, there are answers that are found. Sometimes there are answers that are given, and yet when we hear the answer, we don't believe that the answer is sufficient. It falls far short of what we would like to hear. But my friends, sometimes there are just no answers to some questions. Today is the first Sunday of the month, and it is our question and answers Sunday. Now, sometimes when you ask a question, I would love to be able to stand up here and say, there's just not an answer to that question. Let's move on. And I'm certain sometimes maybe I answer your question and you're glad, and maybe there's other times when I answer your question and you think, you know, that sure isn't sufficient. But we do our best to give a Bible answer to the questions that you ask. We're only going to ask two today. The first one is this. Can a person be baptized for a scriptural reason and his baptism still be valid? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Let's talk about this with some introductory comments. Folks, baptism has many purposes attached to it. There are some individuals who believe that as long as you are baptized for one of those purposes, regardless of what the purpose is, then your baptism is a valid baptism. In other words, what they say is, if a person has been baptized for a right reason, for one of the purposes of baptism, then we must accept that baptism even if it was not for the remission of sins. Wow. Some might ask the question, what are you talking about when you're talking about a scriptural reason or there being many purposes of baptism? Well, let me ask you this. Are you baptized so that you can go to heaven? Oh, yes. You're baptized to go to heaven. If you're not baptized, guess what? You won't go to heaven. Let me ask you this. Are you baptized in order to obey God? Absolutely. God said it. Guess what? I'm going to obey what God wants me to do. Are you baptized to become a member of the church? Absolutely. We talked about that not too long ago, did we not? That the very moment that an individual is baptized, the Lord immediately adds him to His church. Are you baptized in order to have a good conscience toward God? Sure. And how about this one? Can an individual be baptized in order to be safe? Sure, there have been individuals who have been baptized to be safe. Now let's look at an example. Someone comes forward on a particular Sunday, and they want to place membership here, and so we ask them a question. Have you been baptized? And that individual says, oh yes, I've been baptized. The next question that I'm going to ask them is this. Why were you baptized? Now the individual says this, I was baptized in order to obey God. Question. Do we at that point accept that individual into the fellowship of the Oceanside congregation? There are many individuals who would answer that question yes. They would say this, this individual has been baptized for a scriptural reason. And since he's been baptized for a scriptural reason, then it is our obligation, it is our responsibility to immediately accept him into the fellowship of this congregation. Folks, here's the problem with that. The Baptist Church believes that one must be baptized in order to obey God. They will tell you that. Here's the way they present it. They will tell you that you need to accept Jesus Christ into your heart in order to be saved. You need to say the sinner's prayer. And at that very moment, you're going to be saved. And then immediately following that, you need to be baptized in order to obey God and in order to become a member of the church. I want you to note something. They do not believe that baptism saves. They do not believe that baptism is for the remission of sins. Now note that they believe in some of the scriptural purposes of baptism, don't they? But they do not believe that baptism is essential for salvation. They do not believe that a person is baptized in order to have his sins forgiven. No, they say that an individual is saved, is forgiven of sins at the very moment he believes. But baptism is a necessary command to obey. Folks, there are many actions that you and I engage in that have what we might refer to as secondary purposes. But in order for us to be right with God, in order for us to fulfill the command of God, we have to understand the first, the main, the primary purpose for what we are doing. Let's look at another illustration very quickly. Does the Bible command us to assemble for worship on the Lord's day? Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You and I are supposed to assemble on the Lord's day in order to worship our God, don't we? Now let me ask you some questions. Can a person assemble on the Lord's day to obey God? Sure. Can a person assemble on the Lord's day because he wants to go to heaven? Absolutely. Can a person assemble on the Lord's day in order to have a good conscience toward God? Yes. Skip the service, stay home, got a bad conscience, don't you? Oh, I should have been down there at that assembly today. So I go to the assembly in order to have what? A good, clean conscience. Do you ever assemble in order to be safe with God? Sure. If I skip the worship, if I don't go to the worship, I'm going to put my soul in jeopardy, so I'm going to be safe. Now, if you come to the worship services with only those purposes in mind, you've missed it, haven't you? Because you see, there's one primary purpose why you and I are here. And that primary purpose isn't just to obey God. It isn't just to go to heaven. It is not to have a good conscience or be safe. Folks, the main reason we gather is in order to worship and praise and adore the matchless name of the Almighty God. And if you don't come for that purpose, I don't care how many other scriptural reasons you're here, it will not make your worship valid. Will it? It won't do it. And the same is true with baptism. Folks, baptism has a primary purpose. Now, yes, there are a lot of secondary purposes to obey God. He commanded it, so I want to obey God. But there is a primary purpose. There is a main reason why you and I need to be baptized, and that is in order to be saved from our sins. Isn't that what Jesus said? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. On the day of Pentecost, Peter told those individuals, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, looks upon him and says these words, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized so that you can obey God. Is that what he said? No. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Peter said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Folks, why are you baptized? I'm baptized because I want to be saved. I'm baptized because I need my sins forgiven. I'm baptized because I want to have my sins washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the primary purpose of baptism. And if a person doesn't understand that, and if a person is baptized for a scriptural reason, without understanding that, that baptism will not be a valid baptism. Just that simple. Here's the second question. Boy, we're going to get out early, aren't we? A while ago, Glenn said, start on time, and about 100 of you in response said, end on time. I know that's directed toward the preacher. And I know why Glenn said that. He looked at my PowerPoints, because I always give them to him, and he saw there's 100 PowerPoint slides on there. So he is telling me, Vic, you better click them things fast. Here's the question. Can you tell us something about the work in the Philippines that we're supporting during the month of March at Oceanside? Folks, we have never, as far as I know, supported the Philippine mission work. Have we? Not that I know. So we sent them some used songbooks that we had that we didn't no longer need. But as far as really supporting that work and as really knowing what it's all about, we've never done that. Now it's very easy for us because we don't know what something is to not realize that there is a big need there. So we're going to spend a little bit of time and we're going to do our best to introduce to you the work at the Philippines. Let's start with the missionary couple who's there. Their name is Michael and Deborah Stock. Michael and Deborah Stock. Their work is overseen by a congregation here in the United States known as the Piedmont Road Church of Christ in Marietta, Georgia. And what we mean by that is this. All monies that are collected for that work are sent to the Piedmont Road Church of Christ. They oversee all the funds. And then they are the ones who then distribute those funds to Michael and Deborah for their work. So the Piedmont Road Church of Christ is over the work. Michael was born in South Bend, Indiana. He can't help that. He was only born there. When you talk to him, he'll tell you real quickly that most of his life was spent in the state of Alaska, believe it or not. So that's where he was raised primarily. Deborah, on the other hand, is Filipino. She was raised in the Philippines. She is 100% Filipino. Michael is 51 and she is 42. Some might ask, how in the world did a guy from Alaska get together with a girl from the Philippines? Well, when Michael was attending the Sunset International Bible Institute, there was a man there from the Philippines who was studying to be a preacher. And somehow, in the course of their relationship, this guy looks at Michael and he says, you know what? I have a friend from the Philippines you need to meet. And guess what? That's the end of the story. They were married December 28th, 2006. So they've been married 18 years. Once they were married, the Philippine work was very important to them because of where Deborah came from. And they began to take numerous trips back and forth from the United States to the Philippines. But folks, they eventually located there. They don't have any children, even though they've been married that long, but they are raising three orphan children in their homes. Christy, John, and Jose. Right now, they are going through the adoption process in order to try to get Christy and John as their own children. So pray for them as they go through that process. Michael's background is Coast Guard and Army. Aren't you glad, Bill? I thought Bill might say, amen. Deborah is a registered nurse. She attended school here in the United States to become a nurse. She has a BA and became a registered nurse here. She then went back to the Philippines and she attended a school called the, I can't hardly say it, Romualdez Medical Foundation, and she got her Doctor of Medicine. She is an MD over there in the Philippines. Folks, after she acquired all of those things and Michael got out of the Coast Guard, he graduated from the Sunset School of Preaching, they decided to go full-time in May of 2012 in the Philippines. They live there all the time. Very seldom do they come back to the United States. So that's a little bit about the missionaries. So now let's turn our attention to the Philippines. Where in the world is the Philippines? Marilyn raises her hand. She says, I know. Right there is where the Philippines are. You can just barely see it in brown, can't you? It is just southeast of China and it is north of Australia. There's a little bit bigger picture of the Philippines, folks. It's interesting. The Philippines are located in the western Pacific Ocean. Note this. They are composed of 7,640 plus islands. Can you imagine that? When I think of an island, I just think about one, don't you? But over there, the entire nation is nothing but islands. Over 7,600 islands, in fact. It's a lot. Is referred to as an archipelagic, well that's a big word, archipelagic country. A country, a nation that is composed solely of islands. It was named for Philip II of Spain and it acquired its name in 1543. The Philippines, Philip of Spain. The true name of it is the Republic of the Philippines. And folks, it has a population of 109 million people scattered throughout all of those islands. It's amazing, isn't it? The capital of the Philippines is Manila. Right there. Almost dead center. Just a little bit above dead center of the nation. There's a picture of it. A very highly populated city. But it is not in that city where the stocks are laboring. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. The government of the Philippines is a unitary presidential republic. There's many ethnic groups that are there. In fact, there's hundreds of ethnic groups that are there. This is something I found interesting. In the Philippines, there are 182 languages that are spoken. Get off one island, go to another, you got to speak another language. It's amazing, isn't it? There's really 186 languages that are associated with the Philippines, but four of them are no longer spoken languages. There are two languages that are the official languages, Filipino and English. There's two main religious groups that are found in the Philippines. Number one, Catholics. They represent about 75 to 76% of the religious groups that are there. Now there are other, what we would call Christian groups, and I put that in quotation marks, denominational groups that are there, but they represent just a small segment of the Christian population. Now there's another huge religious group that's there, and it's the Muslims. Okay, oops, sorry about that. It's the Muslims that are there. So we have similar to other nations of the world, don't we? The Muslims have made inroads into that place. Let's talk about their work for just a minute. We may note that they began full-time mission work in the Philippines in May of 2012. Their focus is on an island in the Philippines referred to as Bohol. And you see it right there, just right in the almost center of the Philippines. That's where Michael and Deborah have done most of their work. When they went there, there were 50 Christians on that island. And there were no full-time ministers till they got there. It's amazing, isn't it? 10 years later, there are now 5 churches, 4 full-time ministers, and 230 Christians on that island. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not a bad work if you really think about it. They've done a lot of laboring since they've been there. They've had 9 church plantings. There was 4 planted there in Bohol, and there's been 5 others in other areas of the Philippines. They have conducted over 50 medical mission campaigns throughout the Philippines in those 10 years while they've been there. Think about that. 5 per year. If you've never been on one, they are exhausting. Did you know that? An entire week of medical missions, folks, you are up at 6, 6:30 in the morning, and you go to bed 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you do that 5 or 6 days straight. It is work. Do that 5 times a year for 10 years, you've labored diligently in that country. So they're doing a great work while they're there. Since their arrival, there's been 4 major disasters that have hit that land. 4. It's unbelievable. Now remember, they got there when? May of 2012. Folks, in October of 2013, 15 months later, the first disaster strikes. It was a 7.2 earthquake that hit that land. A 7.2 earthquake. 156 fatalities. And there's a picture of some of the destruction that they suffered. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Before they could even begin to recover from that, in November of 2013, 1 month later, a second disaster strikes. A typhoon by the name of Yolanda went straight across the Philippine Islands. Folks, it is the strongest typhoon, that's just a hurricane, that has ever hit landfall on any place on the earth. The strongest ever. 6,352 fatalities. 1,771 missing. They never found the bodies. A fatality is when a body is found. Missing, when you don't find the body. Folks, that's almost 9,000 people died in that one typhoon. Isn't that amazing? Michael was there on the island, they both were, when the typhoon came through. And he thought that he would be involved in relief efforts for about 2, maybe 3 months. And he spent the next 12 months in relief efforts over that one typhoon. Then we all know what happened just a few years later, don't we? A pandemic struck. Not just the Philippines, but it struck the entirety of the world, didn't it? COVID-19. Coronavirus. Folks, it hurt that island severely. No flights in, no flights out. Businesses commanded to be closed. Strict curfews placed on individuals, and only one person could ever leave the house at any given time. That was to go to get groceries and go to get medicine. Now, fortunately, because Deborah is a doctor, she was able to leave at any time she desired to leave the house. Utilities increased 2 times over. Food prices went up 50%. Fuel prices went up 40%. Can you imagine that? Overnight, practically, because of the pandemic. Now, here's what's amazing. During the course of that time, those churches, those 5 on that island, never shut their doors. Every Sunday, they were open for worship. Every Sunday, they were open for worship. Michael tells me that individuals were starving, they were hungry, they could barely get enough food, and every Sunday, the church prepared meals and fed anybody who came to the worship services. Folks, all the denominations had shut their doors. So guess what? They were getting a lot of visitors from many of the denominational groups that were in the area. And they fed them every Lord's Day. 52 fellowship meals a year. We can't hardly do 4. That's a lot, isn't it? Sometimes it was the best meal that any of those individuals got through the course of the week. 33 souls were added the first year to the body of Christ because of their efforts. It's amazing, isn't it? 3 months ago, a fourth disaster. Another typhoon, this time by the name of Odette. And this particular typhoon passed right over the island of Bohol. 200-mile-an-hour wind gusts. 80% of the homes on that one island were totally destroyed. 80%, folks. It's amazing, isn't it? In the churches, 41 members lost their homes. 34 of their members suffered partial damage to their houses. And to this day, there is still no electricity and no internet. When there's a threat of a hurricane, even off the coast of Florida, Victor Eskew leaves. You want to know why? I'm not scared of the hurricane. I don't like losing power. I want to get up and get a shower and feel good in the morning, don't you? Can you imagine? Michael and Deborah have gone 3 months, no electricity, no internet, and do not know when it's going to be restored. 3 months. And we think we got it bad, don't we? It's unbelievable. Here's some of the effects of Super Typhoon Odette. 2 more pictures. Houses just thrown to the ground, totally destroyed. Folks, it's awful what that nation has faced over the course of the last 10 years. There's 2 primary needs in the Philippines right now. Number one, there is the need of repairs to those homes. Some of them are total rebuilds, some are repairs. The estimated cost for the church is $76,300. To this day, they have raised half of that. Half of that. So they still need $36,000 just to rebuild their homes, repair their church buildings, and other facilities. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Here are the houses that they are building for their members. Folks, it's nothing like the homes you and I have. 1-room structures, sometimes for families having 4, 5, and 6 people living in them. Block homes with wooden tops, that's it. No central heat and air. Just a place for our family to be private and to be protected. That's why it doesn't cost nearly as much money as what our homes cost. So that's one of the needs there. But there's another one. There's a church that is in this particular city, Tablarian City Church of Christ. And right now they are worshiping under a home that is on stilts. There is a concrete pad there that is big enough for 2 cars. 60 members of the Lord's church worship there every first day of the week. How would you like for all of us who are here this morning assemble outside, under a house, on a piece of concrete, every Lord's Day? It's not big enough for classes, so they have no classes. So kids, adults, everybody, that's where they worship. Every first day of the week. They're just about to outgrow that piece of concrete. So guess what they want? They want a building, don't they? They found a piece of land, a 1/2 acre of land. That 1/2 acre cost $156,863. We go to buy a lot, and they say, well, this lot costs $30,000, and we about fall on the floor, don't we? $156,000. And that lot is cheap. The man is giving them a deal on that lot. There's 2 other lots for sale in the near vicinity, and each one of those lots are $250,000 plus. They're not cheap. To this date, they've put down 1/2 on that lot, $75,000. The owner is financing it for them, and they have 3 years to pay the lot off. 3 years. Because that's a lot of money, isn't it? So they have about $110,000 that they are in desperate need of to make repairs to homes and houses and to purchase that piece of property. When they finally get it purchased, they're not only going to have an enclosed church building, they can't close it right now, they just have like a pole barn that's there right now. But they'll be able to enclose it, put electricity in it. They're also going to put up a small medical clinic on that 1/2 acre so that Deborah can practice medicine. and help those Filipinos who are there. And they'll also put in a small apartment there so that Deborah and Michael will have a place to live. I was thinking, what if Oceanside provided $5,000 in a month? And what if 22 other congregations could do like we've done and come up with $5,000? Guess what, folks? All their needs could be taken care of in a month, couldn't it? $110,000. It's not impossible. I find it interesting that, you know, we're deeply concerned, and rightfully so, about what goes on in our own lives, aren't we? And then we turn on the television and we hear what's going on in a place like Ukraine, and it's horrible. It's horrible. To see individuals being killed, bombs going off, property being destroyed, families being split apart, individuals dying in war, it's horrible. But you see, there's other things going on in our world too. Just like what's going on in the Philippines right now. And folks, their lives are hard. And they're struggling. And it's difficult work. And we have a couple over there who are willing to give themselves full time to be in that kind of an environment in order to help bring souls to Jesus Christ. I made mention of Michael being involved in that one-year relief effort. He said that every day they were conducting anywhere from one to two or three Bible studies during that relief effort every day. What have we talked about this morning? We've talked about baptism, haven't we? And folks, what's interesting to me is this. Some people will do almost anything they possibly can in order to try to skirt the Bible teaching about baptism, don't they? It's just amazing to me. I don't understand. Why don't we just do this? Why don't we just accept the truth about baptism and obey the truth about baptism and be saved from our sins? Why don't we just do that? Isn't that what they did on the day of Pentecost? And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, Acts 2 verse 41. You know, it's possible to see horrible things going on in our world like what's going on over in the Philippines. And what do we do? We say, you know, that's awful. Then we walk out the back door and we just go about our lives and we forget about it, don't we? Folks, here at Oceanside, we've chosen not to forget about it this year. We're not going to turn away and act like it doesn't exist. We want to do our part as best we can in order to help them. And therefore, the Philippine work is our work for the month of March. We had this work scheduled for like October of this year. And when I started talking to Michael and Deborah about the work and what's going on, folks, they are in need of assistance yesterday. You know that? Just putting it off a month or two is a killer once you find out about how bad it is. They need our assistance. The Oceanside congregation so far this year has done wonderful, haven't we? Month of January, we supported Brother George McNulty over in Ireland, $8,335 over budget. Folks, that amounts to $695 a month. The Memphis School of Preaching was last month, $6,242 over budget. That amounts to $520 a month. Folks, that's $14,557 over budget that you've contributed already this year. That amounts to $1,215 a month. We've never done that kind of mission work. But here's the deal. We've got 10 more months. You know that? 10 more months. We got to work every month. We got 10 more works. So it's going to take some deep digging on our parts, isn't it, in order to make these works successful. But we beg with you and we plead with you to do that. There was a church that Paul loved, and it's the church at Philippi. And the church at Philippi just poured out their help to the work of the Apostle Paul all the time. Even when he wrote the book of Philippians, he bragged about how they had helped him and assisted him even at that particular time. Paul said that I get on my knees and I pray God, I thank God for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's found in Philippians 1:5. But listen to verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will what? Will perform it even unto the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, we've begun a good work this year at the Oceanside congregation, haven't we? It's a huge vision. There's no doubt about that. But guess what I'm confident of? I'm confident that we'll what? Do exactly what Paul said. We will perform it even as it's been set before us. My friend, the world, lost souls, need us. And aren't you thankful we've been blessed enough that we can help? Let's do it in this upcoming year. Maybe you've not become a Christian and you need to be. Folks, just obey the gospel. Just do what the Lord says to do. Don't question, don't fight it, don't argue against it. Just say, yes, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I'll obey. If you're an erring Christian, come back to the fold. Folks, the body of Christ needs you desperately. Our Lord needs you. He provides for others through us, doesn't He? So let's not stay away. Let's give Him everything we've got. And we get to the last day, He'll reward us abundantly. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing?